It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
In celebration of opening day, we've got a special episode of the Moth Podcast for you. The theme is baseball and the surprising ways it connects people.
I gaze out at the players on the field, and then I look over at my dad, and I realize that in the silence between us that something has changed. It's like I'm seeing him for the first time.
Two stories about baseball, family, and so much more. The episode's available right now. Subscribe to the Moth Podcast to make sure you hear it.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Boring.
You've done good work by baseball. Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
It's Daniel Bard.
It's Steve Aoki.
There's Saul Tillamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball
isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
He swings at the first pitch. That is sent deep in the heart of Texas. Shea Langeliers, have yourself a game. A three-homer game. The Oakland A's take the lead 4-3 against the Texas Rangers closer.
There you go, Shea Langeliers with the home run. Jenny Kavnar with the home run call. Congratulations to Jenny for her first Baseball Isn't Boring home run call of the day. Excellent, excellent job. Well, speaking of excellent, this is an excellent podcast for a most important time in baseball. The conversation in baseball right now, not even question. First and foremost, how are all these pitchers getting injured so much? It's just an unbelievable wave of injuries to pitchers' arms. Why is this happening? We have not seen anything like this ever. So, how do we advance the conversation? That's what we're trying to do at Baseball Isn't Boring, right? How do we advance the conversation? Well, we do it by sitting down with Ben McDonald, Orioles analyst, and also a really, really good pitcher. A good pitcher for the Orioles, a great pitcher for LSU, and a great broadcaster. And when you sit down with him, or I sit down with him, it was the perspective that he gave, the insight that he gives, the thought that he gives to this subject. I got to be honest with you, it was next level for me. It was awesome. It was great. So this is what we want to do. We want to keep advancing the conversation in any way we can. We got a lot of good stuff coming up this week. At BB Isn't Boring, at BB Isn't Boring is the social accounts. We'll keep on coming. By the way, we just got the end of Make the Case For. Unbelievable. Make the Case For. All the teams. Rescreen, all the teams. Producer Evan, all the teams. We did all the teams. Houston was the last one. Go check that out. It dropped yesterday. All right, I'll talk more about my appreciation for everybody who was involved for that series. The Make the Case For ... your team. All right, well, we're making the case for having the best insight, best conversation regarding the pitching injury epidemic. Yes, it is an epidemic. We have to classify that right now. And we're going to do that. I sit down with Ben McDonald. Okay, here you go. Ben McDonald.
All right, one of the best pitchers that I saw, certainly coming out of college and had a great career. I appreciate it, Ben.
Anytime. Yeah, great to be here. I love Fenway Park. It's still not a whole lot of fun to pitch here sometimes because it felt like your arm might drag across that short wall out left field as you went towards home plate. But the history of this ballpark, it was always, it still is for me, a thrill to come here.
All right, so there's been a lot of talk about, you know, the injuries and why the injuries are happening, and there's all kinds of different sort of theories. And where I want to start, Ben, is really as a young player, because you were so good as a youngster, then obviously, like I said, come out through college.
Yep.
How did you approach it? How did your coaches, your parents, how did you approach becoming a pitcher when you were early on?
Well, I mean, We started pitching at a very young age when I was a kid. Like, we actually pitched at 6 years old before there was even T-ball. Then they invented this thing called T-ball. We had to back up and play a year of that. But there was no coaches pitch and all that kind of stuff. So we evolved through throwing. We didn't count that many pitches, honestly, back when I was in Little League and high school. And even in college, we kind of counted pitches, but we didn't know if we were doing any harm or not when we did it. So I threw a lot. I mean, I threw, you know, high school, I threw a lot, probably more than I probably should have. And even in college, I mean, I threw 352 innings in an 18-month period between my sophomore year in college, going straight to the Olympic team that summer, and then back for my junior year at LSU. I threw 352 in 16, 18 months, which obviously probably wasn't a good idea to do. Did it lead to my breakdown early after 9 years in the big leagues? Probably. Can't say for sure, but I would assume it probably did. What's alarming in today's world for me is I feel like we're in a time where we're taking the best care of our pitchers that we ever have. And what I mean by that is limiting the pitches, limiting the innings that we throw, the recovery time, all those things, and yet it feels like we're in a time where we're losing more and more of our pitchers every day. Why is that? I got a lot of theories. I've been talking to a lot of college coaches. I've been talking to a lot of big league trainers, big league coaches, and just looking with my own eyes. And people always say, why? And what's odd is this. During my time, 25, 30 years ago at a big league level, if 10 pitchers went down, it was 9 shoulders, 1 elbow.
Mm-hmm.
Now, fast forward to where we are in today's game, if 10 pitchers go down, it's 9 elbows and 1 shoulder. It feels like, why? Why is that? Well, here's one for me. One, I think pitching labs are very good, but I think they're the devil in some ways, too, because now we know at the big league level what certain spins and shapes consistently get big league hitters out. We're trying to create those spins and shapes in these labs. We'll bring them to the field. They're working, but I also feel like we're doing things that are unnatural to our arm. In other words, we really pronate hard on a changeup and guys snap it over, trying to make that ball move like it did. Maybe. I also think, obviously, and you know this, for 5 or 6 years now, we've been chasing velo. It's max effort. Yeah. It's get after it. Everything. We didn't pitch like that. I mean, as starting pitchers in my time, we would cruise along at 90%, 95% max effort. And then all of a sudden, when I needed to, there was a guy at third base and less than 2 out, and I got to strike somebody out to win the game or whatever. Okay, here comes 100%. Here comes 100%. So we didn't always throw max effort. I think that's got a lot to do with it. Now, you listen to Tyler Glass now, and I've talked to others. When they took away the sticky substance, whether you liked it or not, whether you thought it was wrong or right, everybody used it back even when I played, especially on cold days. A lot of pitchers feel in today's game that taking the sticky substance that they used to use, they're having to grip the ball a lot tighter. They're having to hold the ball tighter. And I've heard a handful of pitchers say they definitely relate that to the pitching injuries that are going on now. How can we fix that? I think Major League Baseball's got to do a serious dive into this because, look, we got to find a way to keep our stars on the field. Our stars have to be on the field this game for people to watch this game. If we're losing our superstars, it's not good. Why are we losing our superstars? I think it's all the above. Max velocity, no sticky stuff, trying to create shapes and spins. I think there's a lot to it going on. So how do we do that? I know in the Korean League, they come up with a baseball that's got a tacky substance on it. I think that's a wonderful idea. The problem with that is I feel like all these changes we implemented last year in Major League Baseball was to benefit the hitter because there wasn't enough offense. In the
game. Yeah.
So now if we give the sticky stuff back, then people's going to start, oh, my God. And then, look, it worked. No shifts. I get all that, you know, and make the bases bigger, try to promote the stolen base. But everything we did last year was really to promote hitting and get more offense in the game. I don't disagree with that. However, I think it's more important to keep our stars on the field than it is worried about five-tenths of a run more game of offense. And so I think Major League Baseball's got to do a deep dive into this. I think they probably are. Maybe it's a sample size. Here's the other piece, too. I've talked to 4 or 5 pitchers recently, not just with the Orioles but other teams as well. They think the recovery time with the shot clock, they think that could be an issue as well. It's only been a sample size. Now, I did not agree with the decision of Major League Baseball after just 1 year of putting in arguably the biggest rule in baseball that we've seen maybe in 30 years. All of a sudden, we shaved 2 more seconds off the shot clock. I was not a fan of that. We need to let our dudes get used to doing what we're doing for several years and then make an adjustment. For whatever reason, they decided at that. And for me, look, if I'm here for a 2-hour and 40, I don't care if it goes 4 extra minutes. We got more recovery time for our stars that are on the field. And that's what Major League Baseball has to decide now. And so, and they're going to say, of course, there's not enough proof. It's a sample size yet. Could that be leading to some of the injuries? Some people think so, but we don't have enough data yet to prove that. So there's a lot of things I think we need to really look hard at.
There's a lot, and I think you hit the nail on it with all of them. But I want to go back to the velocity, about chasing velocity, mm-hmm. because, you know, you see a lot of pitchers who wouldn't even be able to get in the door when it comes to, like, youth baseball, high school, mm-hmm. scouts and everything else. The first thing they say, hey, can you throw 95? Can you throw 95? So everyone's chasing the power, and you're doing it from a young age. Hey, if little Johnny on YouTube is throwing 80 as a sixth grader or whatever, like, I have to get this kid.
Yes.
So that is, to me, that's a big part of this, yes. too, right?
No doubt. And yeah. look, James Andrews, who's been one of the best orthopedic doctors, probably the best ever, close to retiring now, done more Tommy Johns than anybody, did Bo Jackson's hip. You know, I read an article by him the other day, and he said the UCL ligament is not at its strength and 100% until somebody's 26 years old. We're creating the velocities, like you said. We got 15-year-old kids now, because I coached, once I got out of baseball, I coached my son's travel ball team. We went all around the country playing. I was amazed years ago. I mean, we go to tournaments and there's 14, 15-year-old kids throwing 93 miles an hour. I mean, I'm going, what is going on? So the ligament just can't sustain that kind of velo. I don't care what you do. And so, I think he's right, and so we just got to continue to kind of, I don't think we can do anything about it. We're going to chase velo. Each generation yeah. gets stronger, bigger, faster. That's just part of the world. It's hard to tell a kid. It's like telling a sprinter,
yeah, hey, don't run
100-yard dash, yeah. but I want you to run it at 80% max effort. I can't tell a kid that throws 16 years old, he throws 94. I can't come and, hey, I want you to dial it back and throw 88.
Yeah.
You know, that's just the competitive nature of guys. And so we're bigger, stronger, faster. These ligaments don't develop until they're 26 years old. We're going to have those kind of problems. There's no doubt. But I also feel like there's some things that we can do to help keep our stars on the field. And we got to take a deep dive and a deep look.
I looked this up the other day, and you're right. It's not going to go the other way because, and I think so far this year, 5% of the pitches are 97 or more, and 15 years ago was less than 1%.
In my time, 86, 87 was the average big league fastball.
Oh.
It's 94 plus today.
Yeah.
That's when, and in bullpens, you're going to get about 95 average, you know, and so that's where we are now. I mean, we can't do anything about, I don't think, kids getting bigger, stronger, and faster. And so it's going to be interesting to see how it shakes down. And we're just in a different time now. And we've gotten to where, you know, years ago, we would actually pitch a little bit more. We controlled the zone. We would do certain things, take them up. And now it's become about swing and miss stuff. My stuff's better than the hitters. I'm not going to try to shoot for the corners.
Yeah.
It's going to be max.
Oh, right down and play,
The catcher set right in the heart of play. And here he comes.
It's the Tampa model, right?
Here he comes.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm not really good enough to throw it right down the middle. We're going to set in the middle, but it's going to go a little bit inside, a little bit outside. But I'm going to basically outstuff you.
Yeah.
My stuff is better than yours, and I'm going to get you out. That's kind of where we are now.
Yep.
And so they know, look, it's crazy, the analytical data. The Orioles are very heavy in the analytical data, but they can tell you, they know exactly what spins, spin rates, what shapes, what vertical break, what horizontal break consistently gets guys out of the big league level.
Yeah.
They know that. And they put that down. And look, these clinics and these pitching labs, they know the same thing. So they're trying to get guys, hey, if you can spin your fastball at 2,500 RPMs and have the vertical hop to it, that's going to play. And so we're all trying to get to those. And I think that's going to be an issue too.
Well, another thing you had mentioned was the manipulation of the baseball, right? And so we, when you came up, it's like, hey, you know, this is how you throw a curveball.
Yeah,
sure.
In my time, we threw a straight changeup. So I would take my four-seam fastball, I would tuck it back in my hand, and instead of just finishing it like that, like a fastball, I would just pull it down. It was a pitch that was made to be hit. So if a good fastball hitter came to the plate and I threw ball one, I know he's sitting on a heater, right? So I would just tuck it back, take a little bit off, pull it down, and create weak contact somewhere. Well, now the changeup has evolved into arguably the biggest swing and miss pitch in baseball. So now they're throwing the circle change, and man, they're really getting out here with it, and they're torquing their elbow like this. I mean, they're really...
Yeah, almost like a screwball back in the day, right? Yeah.
We would call it a Fernando Valenzuela
yeah.
screwball,
yeah.
others, but that's what most guys are throwing now. And I've had, and this, and then we came in with this sweeper craze about 3 or 4 years. Everybody's throwing a sweeper. I had a handful of pitchers tell me that I threw it for a while, but it hurt my elbow.
Oh, okay.
I'm not throwing it. And so that's what my point is. We know shapes and spins, and we know it gets guys out. But I think guys are trying to create those shapes and spins, and it's bothering their arm to do so. And some of these guys are in tough situations. It's like, hey, I got to throw this pitch because I need to stay in the big leagues. If I quit throwing this pitch, I'm going down to the minor leagues. And so they're willing to risk potential arm damage to be able to throw a certain pitch with a certain spin to be able to stay in the big leagues. Right. I get that piece. Nobody wants to go down the minor leagues. And so in a lot of ways, we're playing with fire, I think, you know. But when we now we know... You know, it's so different because I remember in my time, Nolan Ryan would be throwing and our hitters would come back to the dugout and go, man, it's like the ball rides.
Yeah.
It's like the ball hops up. Yeah. We didn't know what that meant. Now we know Nolan Ryan probably spun his four-seam fastball at 2,600 RPM. Yeah. So it had that hop like it didn't really go. Gravity didn't affect it. It stayed on plane through the zone. And so all the things that I used to hear in my time, now we have the data that says, okay, this is why you're seeing what you're seeing. And so it's cool in that regard as a broadcaster now. I can kind of relate and say, okay, this guy's got a high spin rate fastball. Look for a lot of the swings to be underneath the baseball because it fools the hitter.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So it kind of all makes sense now, you know. But I am alarmed, big time alarmed, and our high school pitchers, our college pitchers, got to do the college game too. And I'm alarmed at the injuries. And look, something's got to change, and we got to figure out something. We really got to figure out what's going on. If not, again, I mean, we want to see the stars in our game, in college game. We want to see them. It's good for the College World Series. We want to see the stars come out in Major League Baseball because fans want to see them. And so we got to figure out a way to protect them a little bit more.
Last thing, Ben, and I really appreciate your time, is that also the pitchers, this is another dynamic that's going away, like the third time for the order thing. And and it's interesting because I talked to Brian Bannister about this, who's with the White Sox now, and it's almost where pitchers now, they're ingrained where if they get to the third time through the order and they're on the mound, they're looking around like, oh, what? You're leaving me in?
Yeah.
Instead of just expecting that you're going to be. And yeah. It's going, and we're celebrating five inning starts like it's like a night, it's crazy. And I know that's like, to me, it's like old man yelling at clouds.
Yeah.
But it's still, it's a valuable thing because you have to protect your bullpen.
No doubt. You know, and look, and it's not the pitcher's fault. That's how they've been trained. Yeah. In college now, that's how they're starting to get trained in the minor leagues now. It's like, hey, third time through the order, we're taking 80 pitches, 85 pitches. We're starting to get somebody warmed up in the bullpen. It's not their fault. I think our pitchers can do that, but that's not how they're trained to do it. And so I think it's so valuable to have one or two guys on your staff as starters that can give you into the sixth every time on the average because what does it do? It saves your bullpen. I mean, in my time, we had five guys in the bullpen.
Yeah.
We had five starters, and we had five guys in the bullpen. But I was going 6 1/3 every time out. Messina was going 6 2/3 every time out. Sutcliffe was going six innings every time out. And so the bullpen only had to collect about, six or seven outs.
Sure.
And that's valuable to them because you don't have to use them as much. It's different now. I get it. The analytical world, facing guys for the third time. We're max effort from the first time. We're showing each hitter what we have every time he comes to the plate. And so you don't have anything left for him by the third time he goes through it. But I think our guys can do it. But I think the teams with the best bullpens, that you can save your bullpen along the way of a course of 162. You know, now once you get to playoffs, it's different because you got to go then. But in the regular season, you need starting pitchers to be able to give you the length at times because you've got to be able to save those guys.
Someone said this about an ace. Like
a Corbin Burns.
Right. So an ace protects your pitching staff the day before. It protects your pitching staff the day of.
No
and it protects your pitcher, the pitching staff the day after.
100.
Right?
That's true. And that's why a true ace, what I mean, somebody that can really go, even if he's got a 4.5 ERA, if he can go out there and give me six innings as a manager every time, I'm fired. I don't want to go to my bullpen in the fourth or the fifth inning. I just don't want to do that because it messes me up for the next day. Now, if you got off days, okay, like we do early, you can get through it. But there's going to come a point in time where you're going to play 12 games in a row, 14 games in a row. You've got to be able to save your bullpen. So it's important to have those horses. And if you look across Major League Baseball, the horses are out there, and the ones that have the horses are typically the ones that have the best bullpen stuff.
I ask this of everybody, and there's no wrong answers, and I got a feeling you're going to have a good answer. Why isn't baseball boring?
Oh, my God. Baseball's not boring for a million different reasons, you know? I mean, it's to me, it's still the most purest game out of anything that's out there. I mean, how many years has ballpark been here? You know, I mean, how many years have the bases been 90 feet? How many years has it been 60 feet, 6 inches? I mean, it's the most purest, untouched game in the world right now, in my opinion. And it's just, I don't know, it's the one of our major sports, it's the most unpredictable, and that's what I like about it. So I don't even really watch much college football, but I can tell you just by the first weekend who's probably going to be in the national championship game. I can tell you in basketball. I mean, I knew UConn. I mean, UConn won the national championship last night. Everybody knew UConn was the best freaking team before the season started. Well, in baseball, let's back up to last year. So you get the Texas Rangers, who were below 500 on the road through 162 games. They totally crapped the bed the last week of the season. Nobody gave them a chance. They got to go on the road to Tampa. They do that. They sweep them. They come into Baltimore. They beat up on us. They go ahead and win the World Series. And on top of that, they were below 500 team during the regular season on the road. Then you take the Arizona Diamondbacks, who had a negative run differential for 162 games. In other words, they gave up more runs than what they scored, and yet they're in the World Series. How can you predict that? It is the most unpredictable sport, and I think that's why I like it, because on any given day, anybody can be beat. I saw LSU, who was a ranked team, lose to Southern University. Yeah, nothing against Southern University Baton Rouge, but they're not very good.
Yeah.
But in baseball, somebody can sneak up on you and knock off a powerhouse. And we saw that happen last year in Major League Baseball. We see it happen at the collegiate level, too.
You got me fired up. Thank you.
All right, anytime.